video games, movies, comics.
Podcast from Oscar Mike Media.
Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I'm sorry, I don't have my usual energy because I'm quite sick this week. I'm joined as I'm your host, Chris Lipscomb, general guy over at thesixaxis.com and halftonhero.com. I'm joined as per normal by my co-hosts, Lewis Gasson, general dude over at screendemon.com. Say hello, Lewis.
3D is nice.
You've got a soundboard of Blair.
He's got a Blair soundboard.
No, I haven't. It was just that one.
Oh.
Hello.
You just have Blair sitting on your knee.
I'm not even...
No.
You need a soundboard of Blair. That would be amazing. For those of you who don't know, Blair got grumpy because he wouldn't let him come on the podcast. I'm also joined as per normal by head dude for the whole of Oscar Mike Media and editor-in-chief over at thesixaxis.com, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Excellent.
And other standard jokes.
Other standard jokes about saying things in funny languages.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hello, Lewis.
How are you?
How are you this week, Lewis?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's good to hear.
I've got this horrible feeling this week that something's being plotted behind my back. I'm so tired.
How are you feeling today, Chris?
You're like shit.
I feel like I'm on an episode of Playdays. Let's see how Chris is feeling.
Oh, it looks like he's feeling a bit shit.
Yeah. Not only am I really sick, but I had a whole burglary thing to deal with today, which was...
You got burgled?
No, you know, I do stuff for the student radio station.
Yeah.
It got burgled.
Ah, it's less serious. I thought your house got burgled. I was going to be genuinely worried for you.
No, well, our house didn't get burgled. The student, the radio station got burgled. We got like 600 quid's worth of equipment nicked.
To be fair, if they burgled your house, they probably wouldn't have got that much equipment.
No, they wouldn't have. They would have got to
Got Dav's. They got Dav's TV.
Dav's TV doesn't work is the thing. They would have got to my room and then just looked inside and decided it wasn't worth it.
We'll never get all those comics out of here.
To be fair, it was impressive. I've never seen a bolt bent 90 degrees backwards.
You've never lived.
You've never been to Portsmouth.
Peter, you're either going to talk about Crysis 2 or Homefront, but I don't know if you've managed to play Crysis 2 today or not.
Yes, I did.
All right, do you want to talk about that then?
Okay, I'll say that I'm not really enjoying Homefront very much.
I have heard it's not brilliant. This is what I've heard from many people.
I can sort of see why some people are enjoying it, but I don't know. It's not... For me, it's got a fantastic backstory, but the game's actual story that runs through the game isn't very good. And it just feels very ordinary. Nothing special about it. But anyway, some people don't like it and some people won't. Such is the nature of games.
What?
Crysis 2, on the other hand.
Well, to be fair, such is the nature of stuff in general.
Well, yeah.
What period is Homefront set in?
It's like the near future, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
I can't remember specifically, but it is near future. It starts off
It's
with,
like 20 years down the line or something like that, I think.
Well, yeah, it starts off with like a full motion video thing of like Hillary Clinton talking about the attack on the South Korean sub and all that sort of stuff.
Oh.
So it's tied into real world events, and then North Korea takes over South Korea,
yeah,
and unifies the whole of Korea, and then they invade Japan, and then they expand into like Indonesia, and then eventually they come to America.
Yeah. Bastards!
And you have to fight them back out of America. I think it's the gist of it. I've only played about 2 hours, which, from everything I hear, is more than halfway through.
Really?
Dav's clocked it at 3.5 hours, including cutscenes and dying.
Fucking hell. Shit.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, I haven't died once yet.
Yeah.
I've been on normal. I haven't died.
I don't think he died very often either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Probably not. He is better at games than me.
It doesn't sound great, and the multiplayer is meant to be quite good, but keeps having server issues.
I haven't touched the multiplayer yet. I tend to avoid multiplayer.
Yeah.
But the writing is, the whole backstory of it is really good. It's the sort of thing that it has a really good grounding. It's just not quite been pulled off this time. But they're going to make a sequel, and the sequel could be really, really good.
Yeah, it's a shame, because like, the backstory sounds really, really interesting to me.
Yeah, but all the things that are really exceptional about the game, you could read on Wikipedia.
Is it going to be called Wavefront? Sorry, that was a bad joke.
Yeah.
But that's sort of the problem, is that like, the story sounds really interesting, but I've kind of had it all described to me now.
Yeah.
And given that the game doesn't seem particularly awesome, I don't feel compelled to go play it. So
yeah, I don't know. It is the sort of game that some people are going to really enjoy, and some people are going to put it on for half an hour and just be like, "What is this shit?" So it's really tricky one to call. It's really hard to recommend, but at the same time, there's nothing seriously wrong with it. It's just a bit ordinary.
So there's nothing really wrong with it, but there's nothing particularly like right with it. I know that sounds really cliched, but
yeah, for me, it doesn't really. For me, the thing that's really right with it is all the stuff that happens before the game starts.
That's not really that great in a game.
No, but it's solid enough shooting mechanics, and the movement feels solid enough, and it's just everything about it is good enough.
Yeah,
which is a shame. Because it had the potential to be outstanding.
I mean, to me, that just kind of feels like saying the best bit about seeing this film was when I went and got the popcorn, and then it was downhill from going into the cinema.
Yeah.
But
Crysis 2 is pretty good.
All right, because I wasn't that impressed when I played it way back at Eurogamer, but for the sound of it, it's kind of picked up since then.
Yeah, Crysis 2 is, for me, it's kind of like Halo. It kind of plays like Halo.
Okay.
But the reasons, now I don't know, because I don't buy into the whole Halo universe stuff. I only play the game, so I don't read the comic books or the novels or any of that shit.
Yeah, but you should do, because they're awesome.
So I've heard, but I could never really be bothered getting into all that. And for me, the storyline that runs through the Halo games isn't particularly strong. And I don't feel that sort of bond with Master Chief. But the main character in Crysis 2, whose name escapes me now, Alcatraz he's called, but then the Prophet, I think, is the name of the guy in the suit.
Yeah,
the
Prophet, yeah.
The sort of the reasons for him having the suit and the reasons why the suit makes him do what he can do are slightly more interesting and slightly better implemented, I think. So it sort of plays like Halo, and it kind of feels a bit like Halo, but better. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so it feels really good, actually, really solid. I have had a few frame rate problems.
Oh,
but
that's not what you want.
Yeah, when there's a lot going on, when there's a lot of fire and smoke and stuff going on, and I did have one point where there was like three or four enemies at the top of a ramp, and they just kept throwing grenades down at me for about 10 minutes. They must have thrown about 30 or 40 grenades at me. So there was an awful lot of explosions and cars on fire and stuff, and I got a little bit of slowdown, which is disappointing. But it looks good.
I was going to say, is the graphics live up to all the hype?
It looks really good. I'm playing it on the Xbox 360, and it looks really good, but it's going to look fantastic on the PC.
Yeah.
But it was always going to be that sort of game.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. And I'm going to review that as well. There'll be a review as soon as I can get my way through the whole game and do some of the multiplayer stuff. We'll review it.
Speaking of PC graphics, have you seen the YouTube video where someone's turned down the graphics on Half-Life to absolute minimum?
No.
It looks good because it's so bad. It just looks like some sort of weird, trippy, drug-induced mentalist. But yeah, they just literally turned the graphics down to absolute minimum, and I can't explain it. You need to watch it. So if you just type that into YouTube, it's quite funny to watch.
You've just reminded me that if you play the PC version of Crysis, the graphics settings are high, very high, and extreme.
Yeah.
They start at high.
Yeah.
Which made me laugh.
But this is the achievement for finishing the first level, or for finishing the first little section of Crysis. The achievement is called Can It Run Crysis? Or I Can Run Crysis.
That's quite good.
Because that's the, it's been used for, what, 4 years now since Crysis came out? It's always been used as the benchmark for PCs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the benchmark. And then also stuff like Supreme Commander, because it puts such attacks on your CPU. Yeah. I love Supreme Commander, though. Just because they went, I wonder what would happen if we made an RTS where we individually calculated the trajectory of every bullet. And it turns out when you do that, it just kind of destroys most CPUs.
Yeah, of course it does.
Unsurprisingly. So yeah, that's
you could do
cool.
What you can track each individual bullet's trajectory.
Basically, it like all the this like fire cannon fire from ships and stuff.
Yeah,
doesn't take preset trajectories. You, the guns move independently of each other on the ship, so you can have a ship can target multiple things at once.
Yeah, yeah.
And the gun trajectories are calculated independently, which is fucking insane.
Ooh.
For an RTS.
Swanky.
Like, you could kind of get away with that in FPS, but doing it in RTS is actually insane.
To be honest, I get confused with all these acronyms, so I'm just going to pretend I know what you're talking about.
But I would love it in an FPS if they actually calculate it, and like you just realised you were completely out of range. It'd be really amusing. Your sniper bullets were just falling short.
Yeah, that's something I always thought would be quite interesting to see. I can't think of a game that's done that.
No,
you
I don't
think sniper scope the way you actually had to judge wind and distance and height.
I'm surprised they've never done like a sniper game. I know it probably get boring, but like you'd think that there'd be enough people out there with an interest in it. If enough people
there
were
Call
of Duty,
there are a couple.
Yeah, did do a couple.
There was one last year. Was it Ghost or something? Wasn't it? It was
I
called
think so.
Sniper Ghost or something like that. And then there was that adaptation of that arcade sniper game, but the arcade version of that sniper game was much better because you had like.
Is that the one with the actual sniper controller?
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. That was brilliant to play in arcades, but it wasn't quite as good as on home consoles.
But do they take into account things like distance, wind direction, wind speed, that type of thing?
I think that the one from last year was meant to be pretty good. But I'm not sure because I didn't play it.
I would think to a certain degree they'd have to simulate all that stuff, though, because you couldn't.
It's because it's, yeah, but it's kind of, yeah, you can't do it completely accurately. You know, but
being a sniper is actually quite hard. Mm. It's not the sort of thing that anybody's going to want to do in a video game.
I guess it kind of depends. Maybe they have, like, difficulty levels.
Yeah,
like
I wouldn't want to play it.
But if you could, it'd be nice if you, like, had the option to crank it up to, like, realistic and just see how difficult it actually is.
Yeah, I don't like realistic mode in video games. One bullet kills and all that shit.
No, I mean, a lot of people don't like it, but I think you're catering for a certain group.
Oh, yeah, well, I will try it.
Darker and fans.
It'd be a really long game, though. Like, the first level, just sit there for 4 hours, don't do anything. Mm.
Yeah.
Second level, you need to go for a shit. You just go for a shit lying down. Third
level,
realistic target.
Sniper suit.
Yeah.
Lie in a ditch for 3 days and then pull the trigger once and then fuck off on.
That'd be amazing.
Quick, get Activision on the phone.
Yeah. And it comes on two discs for the 360. Please insert disc two. You put disc two in and it says, right, now shoot.
I'm sorry, you got up to insert disc two. You have jeopardized your location.
The enemy's seen you.
Right, anyway. Lewis, you're going to talk about The Town.
Yes, I was. I watched The Town yesterday, and by the time this goes out, the review will be up on Screen Demon. I really, really liked it. It was really good. Obviously, directed and co-written by Ben Affleck, and obviously starring him as well. About a group of bank robbers. I think there's four mates and like grown up together, and they live in a place called Charlestown, which is a district of Boston. And it starts off with some weird statistic about the fact that Charlestown has produced more armed robbers than anywhere else in the world, or something like that along those lines.
Yeah, it's a made-up statistic, though.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I saw someone was on The Daily Show, and it's a completely made-up statistic.
Aww.
It's there were, at one point, a number of armed robberies there, and it's not renowned, but it does have quite it's kind of more so not now, but more so a couple of years ago, you kind of have that feel.
Yeah. That's a bit annoying. I quite like that.
But it's nowhere near it, because they say it's something like 300 or something stupidly high like that.
Yeah, they made it sound like everyone in Charlestown was an armed robber.
It's not quite as high as that, from what I understand. But there were groups in the same way that, like, if you think back to, like, when the Crane Twins were in London. Mm. Like
Crane Twins.
The Crane
Leave it,
Chris. Twins.
Leave it, Peter. Leave it.
I know I said the crane and I meant to cry.
Don't pick on him.
But back when the Cray twins were in London, like, there were areas...
Twins?
The Cray twins. There were areas of London where, like, everyone knew... Everyone was, like, a member of their gang kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of sort of similar to that.
Oh, that's a bit annoying. But so I think Ben Affleck's, like, the architect of the group, I think they called him. And then his, I don't think it's his biological brother, but they call him a brother, because they're like Irish families grew up really close in that area. Who is Jeremy Renner? Is it the bloke from Hurt Locker, the main bloke?
Yeah, I know who you mean.
He's that guy, and then there's a couple of others. Ben Affleck's character is quite, although he's an armed robber, so he puts all those people through an ordeal. He's quite nice, and he's got like conscience. He doesn't want to kill anyone, or he doesn't want to severely hurt anyone, because he just literally wants the money. But this other bloke is just basically he'll do whatever it takes. So he'll happily smash some old bloke around the back of the head with a gun in order to get the job done. They basically rob a bank. They take the bank manager hostage and then let her go. And then Ben Affleck tries to sort of, well, he follows her because there's a chance that one of the other gang members is going to sort of take her out of the equation altogether as a witness. But Ben Affleck takes over and then falls in love with her and goes on this thing. But it's really good. It's not, like I say, although it's got that love story sort of aspect to it, it's actually really well made. I thought the like car chases through the narrow streets and bank robbers and several plans and things like that, it's really, really good. It does get a little bit complicated at points, and you do lose who's who or where you're at sometimes, but it's really, really well done, I thought, and it was good to see Ben Affleck back on top form as well.
Yeah, I really want to see that. And it's got the dude from Mad Men in it, hasn't it, whose
John
name escapes
Hamm.
Me
brilliant,
yeah,
but John, Pete Postlethwaite.
I kind of think John Hamm is amazing in most things personally, but
because me and my mate watch Mad Men, and we like in Mad Men he's or at least in the first couple of seasons, he started off as like the type of bloke you'd like to be, like constantly smoking, drinking, womanizing, that type of thing, and a really cushy job. In this, he's the lead FBI investigator, and he's like a really tenacious policeman, and he's gonna sort of get his result no matter what. And it's weird because like Ben Affleck's like an armed robber, and You should be in support of John Hamm, not in Ben Affleck, but it's the other way around. And although John Hamm is like an amazing policeman, you still don't want to sort of cheer for him. So it's good to see him in a different role than Don Draper. And like I say, he was really, really good in it. Like there's points where he just stares at Ben Affleck. There's one point where he's talking to him and he says, normally you'll ask for a plea bargain and you're going to spill your guts and then I'm going to tell you that you can have a reduced sentence for helping us. And he just turned around and went, that's not the case. I'm going to watch you go to jail and I'm going to watch you trade cigarettes in fear of sexual enslavement, that sort of thing. So he was proper, just like a proper badass cop.
That sounds really cool. Like, it's a film I definitely want to see at some point.
It is good. Like I say, it probably goes on a little bit too long, but other than that, it's made up of really good elements, I thought.
That's cool. Yeah. I did hear it was quite long actually, but it seems very, it seems like it's got a really nice mix of like action and story.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's quite intelligent, I thought.
That's cool. Kind of like I know what I said about Inception and blah, 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 but it's sort of like Inception where it's got a nice mix of like, here's some kind of sort of interesting story, but here's some actiony stuff as well.
Yes.
And they're integrated together nicely, not in typical like action movie way.
Yeah, I thought that the action wasn't overdone in it. There are a couple of sequences where there's quite a lot of action, it's quite exciting, but it's not really overdone, and it's not to the detriment of the story. It all has relevance.
Yeah. Like, I really was impressed with the car chase when they like they get to about half or towards the end of the film they do another bank robbery and they put on nun costumes and then they go on a big car chase through the city, but all the streets are like really really narrow, like the lanes in Brighton.
Yeah.
They're like that, so these cars are sort of speeding around that, and it's really well done. So yeah, kudos to Affleck.
Yeah, it does sound really good. It's definitely something I kind of want to see at some point. Right, next it says I'm going to work through it.
So that's a yes.
That's a yes.
Someone else did raise the other point about the town with me. Can't remember now it was, but they said something like,
I thought the 3D was quite nice.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear then.
Hmm.
That's quite an observant
thing.
On that note, actually, I made my my 2D glasses last night.
Your 2D glasses.
Yeah, I thought you could do it, and I found a tutorial on it online. Basically, if you get two pairs of glasses and take like the left lens from one and the right lens from the other and swap them over and keep them in the same orientation, you end up with two pairs of 2D glasses because they both only see one type of polarized light.
So they cancel out the 3D effect.
Yeah, so it's, but you see it in...
Where do you get these 3D glasses from?
They were just on eBay. They were like 99p for two.
I was going to say, couldn't you have got some of the feed from the cinema?
Well, I could, but you have to pay for them at the cinema.
No, you don't. Not if you go see a 3D ticket.
Every time I go to the cinema, they lend me glasses and take them off me again.
Do they take them off you? We get to keep them, don't we?
Cinema.
It costs an extra pound to get in and get 3D glasses, and then when you come out, somebody's standing and they take them off you and they wipe them with a little wipe like I'm dirty.
I don't know about Odeon, but I know that the Cineworld was charging for 3D glasses at one point.
Bastards.
They just have a massive box of them. As you go in, you just take them and then keep them as you go out.
But the difference was with Cineworld, you paid for them, but then you got to keep the glasses. So you could just come back again and again, and you have your own pair, which kind of seemed fair enough because it was only like, and it wasn't a lot. It was like an extra, £2 or £3, so it wasn't like a huge sum to buy glasses, and it's a one-off payment. Yeah, I got like two pairs for 99p or something off eBay, and just switched the lenses over, and I need to go test them now, but I think they should because if you get two pairs of 3D glasses and you put the lenses together in the right way, you can tell they're polarized because they make the light purple. And if you get them at the right angle, they make everything go black because the polarized fields cancel out all light.
You can do really cool things with polarized lenses and photography.
Yeah, you can.
If you shine lights through like plastic plates and stuff, and then you turn the polarized lens, you can get like rainbow effects across them.
Yeah, you get really interesting effects with polarized light and lasers. You get some really weird effects, I think.
Will doing that not just make it blurry?
No, it will. Apparently, some people suggested it might make the film darker.
Yeah.
Which I could, I'm not sure, but I can understand the logic behind that if it does, because you're only seeing like half as much light, so it might make it seem a little bit darker, but as far as I understand, and people, this was from a tutorial that I found on a website that I trust, which is from
Bumbags.com.
Tested.com, who are owned by the same people who own GiantBomb.com. So I trust them. And
who are a competitor, so we shouldn't really be pimping their URL.
That's true, but I trust.
But
them.
I love them too.
Yeah, they're good guys.
The Giant Bomb is the only other podcast that I would entertain listening to, aside from this one and the TSA community one.
I should listen to the TSA community one, but I don't.
It's hard to find time.
I listen to loads of podcasts at work is the thing, but I just don't really want to listen to them, mostly because I'm jealous. I see them as a competitor, direct competitor.
They're not just a direct competitor. They're using your website.
Yeah, fuckers. I hate you, Nutsack Podcast.
Let's ban them.
Ban them all.
Let's give you some kind of fight at Eurogamer.
We could do a mashup at Eurogamer. That'd be fantastic. And then we could video arm wrestles.
I just want to come and fight now.
It's a rumble. It's like, yeah. What's that film called? The Outsiders? Where they all turn up for the rumble. It's based on a book. I can't remember what that's called.
That's not a thing.
It's got the Karate Kid in it, I think.
Ralph Macchio?
That's him.
He doesn't age. Science.
We'll just go in, and it'll start out as a nice, pleasant podcast, and halfway through, we'll just punch him in the face and run.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I want to do arm wrestles as well.
Yes, we should do arm wrestles to find out a superior podcast. Okay, Fear Itself. Oh, sorry.
It should be. That's disgusting.
I'm sorry. I'm really sick.
Nobody coughs all over the Nutsack podcast.
Yeah. Professionals, they are.
Their podcast is called Nutsack.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about Fear Itself, but I can't get my brain to work. So we won't talk about that. So let's talk about the Captain America trailer. Lewis, you've seen this as well. It was really cool.
I've seen it too. Oh, did you? Why am I not included?
I'm sorry, Peter. You weren't online when I asked. Okay, the new one that came out today. Yeah.
No, fuck you.
Fine. I'm honestly too tired to care. So, Peter and
I'm taking my headphones off.
Fine. Lewis.
Yes.
Tell me about this. Tell me about this fine trailer.
I didn't think it was all that good.
Because you said you didn't like the bit where...
I don't like the CGI that they've used to put Chris Evans on a skinny body. That just looks tack.
No, and when he first comes out, he looks way too muscly as well, I thought.
And it's just... And I don't know, the rest of it, I wasn't inspired.
I don't see, I quite like the story elements for me seemed well put together, though, and kind of accurate. Which I don't know, I just quite liked that.
What story element?
Like, because they were telling they kind of did the story of how he becomes Captain America.
Oh, right, like, but they didn't have, like, all they did is have Tommy Lee Jones talking about them becoming super.
Well, yeah, but they were also showing his rejection from the regular army and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I was too distracted by his weird little face on a skinny man's body.
Yeah, but well, he has to be skinny at the start, because it's kind of the point.
They could have got a lookalike in.
Well, yeah, but there's quite a lot of him doing that.
Have you seen it, Chris?
Well, there'd probably be at least 20 minutes, I would imagine. Otherwise, it would just feel really, really weird.
I reckon it'll be about 5 minutes in total.
Really? You think so?
I'm signing up. No, too skinny. Oh, okay. Do you want to be a super soldier? Yeah, okay. Go inside this thing. Okay. And then it comes out muscly. Done. See, I did that in about 15 seconds.
Oh, and yet you want us to make one of your screenplays into a film.
Yeah.
Well, with character development that well, that deep, how could we possibly refuse?
Oh, please. Don't tell me that you're not intrigued as to where this man's come from and what's going to happen to him. Is Peter there?
Yeah, I'm just not talking because I'm not allowed an opinion.
You've upset him now, Chris.
Peter, would you care to weigh in with your thoughts on the trailer, Captain America?
That's very gracious of you, Chris. yeah, I watched it today.
Well, that's good because it came out today.
Oh, did it?
Yeah,
it's I only found new, it today. I thought, fucking hell, I didn't know this was about.
No, there was a teaser one, but that's only about 30 seconds long before.
Yeah.
And then this new one was today. Yeah, the one's about
2.5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I thought they could have done an awful lot of the skinny Captain America. They could have done from the back, so that you can actually see his weird face.
Possibly, I suppose.
And then done just little quick shots of his face so that you can sort of know that it's meant to be him. Mm. But much any trailer that has 2 minutes of Tommy Lee Jones talking,
yeah,
you're going to listen to.
True. I think actually the skinny stuff would have worked better if, because a lot of the stuff you see in that is him shirtless for some odd reason.
I think that's to show the fact that he's gone from skinny to muscly. It's to overemphasize that point.
Yeah, but
make him look like Mr. Muscle.
Yeah,
yeah.
Love the jobs you hate.
I think if you...
Available at your local supermarket.
But,
not as good as Sill It Bang, though. Bang, and the dirt is
bang,
gone.
And the endorsement is gone.
Sorry, Chris, you were saying?
Well, I think if you saw him...
Sif!
Like...
Oh, Sif's another good one.
Do you remember when they used to call that GIF?
Yeah, do you know why they changed it? The Spanish can't pronounce it.
Spanish can't... Oh, of course not. They'd say GIF, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they changed it to SIF.
Because, well, it's because it's always been called SIF in, like, every other market.
So they thought it would unify it.
Yeah, it makes more sense. Makes the branding a lot easier.
Is that why they changed the name of Febreze as well?
Why have they changed it? What have they changed?
Well, it used to be Fabreze and now it's Febreze. F-E-B.
I'm sure it was always F-E-B.
Yeah, I've always known it as F-E-B.
It used to be F-A-B.
Maybe that's over in your crazy Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I've always known it as Febreze.
Maybe you just haven't been following right from the start. Maybe you're just newfound fans. I've been rocking them since before they were popular.
I think it's...
I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I think, personally, you've been buying knockoff cleaning products.
To be fair, I don't want Febreze because I'm a long-time supporter of Dettol.
Well, Febreze and Dettol are quite different things.
No, because you can get Dettol-tile Febreze stuff now.
Well, can you?
Yeah, you're obviously just not up to the times with Dettol.
Or I'm not up to the times with... I don't clean. So.
Well.
Everything I touch.
I use Febreze instead of deodorant.
I use Febreze instead of showers.
Isn't that what they said? Up in the air and
wash
under
it with Febreze. All right then. My water's bill's been lovely this month.
This has got just a bit weird now.
I can't believe you guys have to pay for water.
You don't pay for water.
How does it work over in Northern Ireland?
No, they tried to introduce water charges over here, and basically everyone went no. And then all the politicians went, oh shit, if we introduce that stuff, then they'll not vote for us anymore. And now they're fighting it.
You don't pay for water. Scotland doesn't pay for prescriptions.
Oh, we don't pay for prescriptions either.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Didn't all your water go away at Christmas, though?
Well, yeah, a lot of people did, but mine didn't.
That's because the tide went out.
Yeah. All the wells were empty. Yeah, we don't pay for prescriptions either.
Fuckers.
And in 2009, every single man, woman and child in Northern Ireland was in debt to the English taxpayer by $5,000.
Bloody hell.
That's how much we took out of the English tax budget.
Mm.
Yeah. Does that now make you
So technically, you pay for my prescriptions. Thanks very much.
I know, that pisses me off even more.
Yeah, but isn't that just because
I've been hammering my prescriptions this week too. Really getting your money's worth for you.
Isn't that just because you come and build all our roads?
Yeah, between you and
so
my
kind
nan.
Of a trade-off.
Yeah, we built all your roads, so now you have to pay for our medicine.
Seems a fair trade to me.
Yeah, fuck you.
I mean, to be honest, I get free prescription. That's just because I can leg it.
Why do you get free prescription?
Just because I run afterwards.
Oh, you steal it.
Yes, that was what I was implying.
Why don't you
I'd
just say it?
I'd rather pay than have to run.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'm not running. Just have the money.
I'll just charm my way out of it. Thank you very much for my prescription, love. I'm now going to walk out without paying you. I'm not going to run because I can't run. And you're not going to chase me, are you? And people in Portsmouth just go, yeah, whatever, take it.
Just grunt at you and let you leave.
Peter, you're going to tell us about Shogun 2.
Was that you bringing us back on track?
Yeah.
Oh, I was having a lovely little discussion there about prescriptions and cleaning products.
I do that every now and then.
Okay, let's talk about Shogun 2. I got Shogun 2 this week. It's really, really good. I spent 4 hours on it last night, which is all I've done so far. And I'm getting my ass kicked in the battles.
Hang on a minute.
Aside from that, it's really good.
You spent 4 hours on it last night, and that's all you've done so far?
Yeah.
What did you do today, then?
Today was Crisis 2 day.
Right. I'm getting mixed up, don't worry.
I downloaded it from Steam though. It was, I think, about 15 gigabytes from Steam.
15
which
gig?
Which is pretty mental. My ISP is gonna love me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a total war game. It's really good, but the battles seem to be really, really hard. I haven't quite worked out. Quite often in games like this, it's kind of turn-based. It's kind of like two games in one. It's kind of turn-based sort of strategy and diplomacy, and you have to like city building and all that sort of shit. And then when you enter into a battle, you can either simulate it or you can fight it yourself. If you simulate it, I've got a better chance of winning, because if I fight it myself, it doesn't matter. I get my ass kicked. And quite often in this kind of game, there's a trick. There's something that you have to work out. And then the sort of battle system all falls into place, and you can fight perfectly. But I haven't worked that trick out yet. So I'm going in with like 500 extra men and still just getting rinsed. So I need to work out the trick.
What type of game is it?
It's turn-based strategy, basically.
Oh, right, okay.
And then once you enter into a battle, it becomes like a real-time strategy thing where you direct your troop movements.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's quite interesting.
I started talking about it, assuming that everybody knew what Total War was.
I have no idea what Total War or Shogun is.
Oh, I know what Total War is, but I haven't really played it very much.
Yeah, the Total War series is like a long-standing PC thing, and they're some of the best PC games on the market.
I want to play the one that has boats in it.
Empire had boats in it, but this one has boats in it too.
It was the last one, I think, had boats in it.
Yeah, Total War Empire had boats, I think.
Because I heard the boat sim was crazy. Like individual bits of the boat would explode, and then people would jump overboard, and then they could get eaten by sharks when they jumped overboard, which sounds fucking incredible.
Yeah, I haven't done much of the naval warfare yet in Shogun 2, but that is in Shogun 2 as well.
Well, clearly you need to do that, because you need to get some video capture of people being eaten by sharks.
Naval warfare? What have you got against belly buttons?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Oh, thank you. That was probably going to be the worst joke on the podcast. Yeah,
I do try.
So, yeah, it's early days yet. 4 hours with a Total War game is absolutely nothing. It's the sort of games that, you know, once you've played them for 100 hours, then you've sort of learned how to do it. So it's going to be a long haul, I think. But once I get sort of 10 or 15 hours in, I'm going to write something about it. Because they gave me a copy for free, basically. So I kind of have to write something about it. But
that's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
And is it just for the PC?
Yeah. It wouldn't work on consoles.
Yeah.
It'd be awful on consoles.
Yeah, there's too much strategy to do. But I was always a big fan of Rome.
Total War.
Yeah, Total War Rome.
Wasn't it called Rome Total War back then?
Yes, it was. Yeah, they've changed it because this is the second Shogun game in the series, but it's still Total War. So the name sort of has switched about a bit, I think. But yeah, I was a big fan of Rome years ago, and I own Empire and I think Napoleon, but I haven't played those.
Cool.
Because I don't really get time. So this is the first one that I've really had to play for a long time. So I'm going to try and hit it hard over the next week or so, and then get something written about it.
All right, cool. It does sound very interesting.
And my PC plays it all on ultra high graphics settings.
Have you got a decent PC though?
Yeah, I don't know if that's good or not, but I was very impressed when I saw it.
Have you got a decent PC? Is it quite new, your one?
Yeah, I think I've got quad cores.
That's a lot of cores.
And I've got 5 gigabytes of RAM.
What, you've got the cores?
Yeah, I've got the cores. Jim and Andrea. Andrea's under the desk right now.
She's beautiful. She's Andrea Core and she's beautiful.
Oh, that's quite a bad accent. How much more can we insult the Irish today?
I know where you live. You are being unreasonable, Peter.
That really is quite bad.
That was quite bad, actually.
My nan loves it.
Yeah, I bet she does.
Right.
Oh, fuck. Chris, be professional. Move us on.
No.
Come on, Chris. No. I have no idea what that accent was.
Lewis is going to get himself shot.
I'm starting to make
jokes about his nan. Come on.
Every time I try and be professional, you take the piss. You going to say sorry?
I'm just not going to talk then. Say what? Sorry?
Fine.
Would you like a Murray
mint?
I'm sorry,
Chris.
All right, Uncanny X-Force is really, really good. I'm moving on to the next bit on the list.
that was a bit of a harsh segue. You could have tried to work it in somehow, Chris.
Well, into Lewis doing a poor Irish accent.
You are being unreasonable.
How am I going to segue from that into comics?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I do not know.
At least if
you do you have any comics about leprechauns?
No. If you, at least if you're doing a Scottish accent, I could segue from Mark Millar. Mark Millar. I can't remember one of the two. It's Scottish. Anyway, Uncanny X-Force is a really cool X-Men book. It's kind of like a Black Ops X-Men team that aren't officially sanctioned by the X-Men. If you haven't read the X-Men books for a little while, the X-Men are essentially at this point kind of, well, mutants in general, are kind of on the point of extinction, and because they moved from New York over to San Francisco after there was an almost extinction level event for mutants, and then there were riots in San Francisco which dwindled their numbers even further, and so now currently they live on an island called Utopia, which is a mutant only preserve sort of thing. X-Force were kind of because Cyclops is now the leader of pretty much all mutant kind at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah, it doesn't end well. So he unofficially sanctioned X-Force as his kind of personal hit squad to go and take out threats that the X-Men couldn't be seen officially dealing with, which is a little weird because they still wear the Telltale X's on their uniforms, which doesn't seem like a brilliant idea for a Black Ops team.
So Cyclops has essentially turned into President Nixon.
Well, the concept of the current events going on Fear itself, and like all the prelude, well, all the art and stuff that came before it, all like the adverts were all what do you fear? And it was a character with something they fear. So it was like for Thor it was do you fear the truth, and for Spider-Man it was do you fear the future, and for Cyclops it was him dressed up in Magneto's outfit, and it was saying do you fear what you've become, which is
can
kind
he control
of
control metal then.
No, it was more the fact he's become sort of evil.
I know, I was joking. Wasn't very funny, but
no. But yeah, so he's kind of sanctioned this team. This team
a bit harsh.
This team also has Deadpool in it, which is awesome.
Yes.
And generally this is one of the best books I've read in a while. It's really interesting. The art is very well done. Although it has no real impact on the book, the cover art for all the books is fucking stunning. Actually, I think you'd...
It kind of annoys me when they do that.
Yeah, but Lewis, you'd really like it because the cover art is all done in a very kind of washed out watercolory look. And I think it's something you'd quite like, which I might send you some pictures later of that.
Easy killer.
Of comic book covers, not of me naked. I know.
Why would you even bring that up?
Because I know that's what he normally expects after we do the podcast.
I get really upset if no one sends me naked pictures after a podcast.
Exactly.
Is that what Lewis gets for a treat if he behaves himself?
Yeah.
They don't even have to be of you. They could just be a random person.
He hasn't had any for the last 2 weeks. But yeah, it's just one of the best series I've read in a while. The first plot arc deals with Apocalypse, who is also one of my favourite characters. And I did say Apocalypse correctly, which is unusual for me.
I was just about to comment on that.
Yeah, it's unusual for me. Particularly as it's not the easiest word to say. But yeah, it's a brilliant book, really. Deadpool is well written as well, which is quite unusual in books.
How can you write Deadpool well? Deadpool doesn't speak.
Yeah, Deadpool's got no mouth. And I think Blair would agree with that as well, because
Deadpool is also quite nice.
I thought you only had one thing on your soundboard.
Yeah, I lied.
All right. I'm going to do this again because I liked doing this last week. Peter, you have 1 minute to talk about kidulthood/adulthood.
Okay.
I liked doing this last week. So you have 1 minute and go.
Kidulthood was pretty good, but adulthood was better.
That was like
job done.
That was 5 seconds.
Don't need a minute. Well, I don't need a minute. It doesn't take me a minute.
Oh, well,
I'm a constant disappointment.
Lewis last week just kept saying like, so you're better than him.
That's a lie. I said like a couple of times, but there were some other statements in there. Come on, Peter. You're failing. Come on.
Get Out the Hood, I thought, was really good.
No, it hasn't. You've got like 30 seconds.
Go!
Yeah, it was kind of like it's set in South London and they all talk weird, which is what people kind of talk like in South London.
Yeah, they do.
I'm from Belfast, I don't understand.
They all sound like they're going to mug you.
Yeah. It sort of took me a little while to get used to the way they were talking, but then once you got into the story and it was pretty good, but kind of played on the, yeah, we're all rough kids from South London themes a little bit too much. Adulthood was really, really good. It was more about one guy and his struggle to deal with the things that happened in Kidulthood. It was sort of set over 2 days and it was more tense and there was more acting involved in it. So yeah, if you haven't seen them, you should see them.
Cool. That's about a minute as well.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. That was over a minute.
It was over a minute, but I gave him a little bit more time because we did talk to him.
Always takes me a little bit longer.
Well, I gave him a little bit extra time.
I wasn't great about it. I wanted it over in a minute. You've disappointed me now.
Anyway, Lewis, competition, please.
No.
Chris has just skipped one of the topics on my list.
What was it?
Well, 3DS pre-release.
Yeah, but we're running quite long.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, we are 47 minutes in. All right, we can talk about the 3DS quickly if you want.
No, fuck it. We'll talk about the 3DS when the questions come up.
Okay.
Because I think we've probably got questions about 3DS.
I don't think I've got any. Have you got some about it?
There was one on Twitter,
wasn't
there?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, one about, yeah, it was about the iPad 2 and 3DS. Fucking hell.
Well, it was like I put...
Sounded like a robot having an orgasm.
I put the 3DS on as an extra topic anyway if we were running short.
We've talked enough about the 3DS at length.
And plus, to be fair...
Come on, Chris. Let's get over it.
And to be fair, we're going to talk about the 3DS quite a lot next week, I would imagine, so...
Yeah, probably.
Tune in next week for all your 3DS coverage.
And also stuff you'll actually care about listening to.
Oh, snap.
Please, people will be out in their droves buying Sif and Detail now.
Yep.
I hope so.
And next week, one of us might have played with the iPad too, if they're lucky.
What did you say?
I might, if it arrives, I will not personally, work will have an iPad 2 that I can play with. But probably not, because if you order it online, they said there's quite large delays.
Yeah, I might buy one.
Well, to be fair, I was trying to convince the boss to go and queue up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get one. But he kept
5 o'clock in the evening?
Yeah, well, he said, well, my plan was go to the 3DS, for him to go to the 3DS release, pick up a 3DS, and then go play his 3DS in the queue for the iPad 2.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's almost like they planned it that way.
But I doubt we'll get an iPad 2 for next week. We might if we're lucky. If we're like the first person in the UK to order it, which I know he's intending to be.
Yeah.
Mostly because we just need one to develop on. See how they are. Lewis, are you ready to be a competition?
Yes.
Okay, go.
Okay, I'm going. Last week, I played you... which is, of course, Transformers.
Cool.
Yay! I just thought it'd be good if Lewis got a round of applause.
Yay for Lewis.
You could at least make it sound genuine, Chris.
Well, I did, there's not really enough space for me to clap near the microphone, so I had to clap under the desk. Anyway.
Oh dear.
How many correct answers did you have?
I got 12 in the end. I think.
Oh, that's good.
Which is a record.
Yes. So Peter, do I pick a number between 1 and 12?
God, he's moving through this briskly, isn't he?
Yeah, I know. No stopping.
Let's go for number 12.
Ooh, going all the way to the end. Doesn't matter anyway, because I shuffle them up. That is Leo Yao.
Oh, that's something we don't know. That's good. I like new people.
Hello, I know him.
Oh. Do you know him?
Ruin it.
He's on TSA. I think he's Squall G.
I vaguely know who that is.
Oh, I know Squall G.
Yeah, I know him because he sent me a fantastic email a couple of weeks ago.
Was it about how you are awesome?
No, it was about how we are shit.
Oh.
He sent me an email a couple of weeks ago basically saying, I really like these things that you used to do. Any chance of you doing them again?
What were they?
Which is pretty cool. It was the newsletter and something else. I can't remember the other thing.
Was it the stuff that actually involves hard work?
Sorry?
Was it stuff that actually involves hard work?
Yeah, basically.
Oh.
Basically, he said that he missed the newsletter that we used to send out. So
the newsletter was good.
Currently looking into sending the newsletter out again.
Well, we just kind of need to chain Michael up somewhere and it would happen.
Yeah.
Ideally.
We'll see. There's an awful lot of work goes into putting those things together. So it would mean basically if it was going out on Thursday, I think Michael used to do it on a Friday morning. And Michael used to do it. It used to take him all Thursday evening to do.
Yeah, exactly. And he'd start putting it together on Wednesday, I know, because he'd start sending out requests for content on Wednesdays.
So we'll see. If I can work out a way of doing it that's not so labour intensive.
It's kind of the same issue with TSA TV. These are things that take quite a lot of time, annoyingly.
Yeah. Production time.
Like even the podcast cost me half of Sunday.
Because you put too much effort into editing it properly, Chris.
Yeah.
Just smack it all together, export as MP3, upload, job done.
I know. You did that and it was annoyingly good.
It's because we were on our best behaviour that week.
Yeah, I know. The problem is if I did that on a normal week, it wouldn't work so well.
Especially after what you just said about the Irish.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, normally when we have Al on, I get an email afterwards of a list of stuff I need to cut out the podcast because it's all embargoed, which is annoying because basically there's stuff that you guys don't hear that Al tells us, and all the coolest stuff he tells us I normally have to cut because it's under embargo. But that is the way of embargoes. They just stop you telling people about awesome things. Anyway. We haven't picked a DVD.
Yes, so he won, and he put on his email, anyway, keep up the good work and please torment both Chris and Peter more. So you got to please the fans, really, haven't you?
Do you really?
I'm not tormented.
Yeah, you don't really torment Peter. You both could gang up on me.
You're just too easy.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, if you could pick between 1 and 4, I need to buy some new DVDs.
I will pick 2.
You've won Cool Running.
Oh, didn't we have that before?
No, we had a clip of Cool Runnings.
Oh, yeah.
Where he said, I see a badass mother who won't take no crap off nobody.
Yeah, oh. Cool Runnings is awesome.
And that accent, surprisingly, was better than the Irish one.
I'm a man of many talents.
Someone else was talking about Cool Runnings on Twitter this week, I'm sure. Cool Runnings is fucking awesome.
It is. One dream, 4 Jamaicans, 20 below zero. Doesn't get better than that.
The ending always gets me, though.
What do you mean?
Do you know the very ending bit when they do their final run right at the end of the film?
Yeah.
That always...
Spoilers?
I'm not saying what happens, but that bit always gets me.
God, Chris, you could have at least waited for him to watch it before he found out that they all die.
Never seen Cool Runnings, and now you're telling me that they explode while they're running down that hill on a sledge.
Yeah,
that was shortly after the Easter Bunny jumped out and scared them.
Yeah, all right.
If he's going to carry a machine gun that big, then they're going
to
be scared.
Yep, well, that's true. I told him not to run around with it, but you can't tell rabbits these days. They do what they want.
That's the problem.
The only thing you can threaten them with is myxomatosis, but it's just not as threatening as it used to be.
Chris probably can't say myxomatosis.
Plus, to be fair, myxomatosis isn't really that...
Mix or what, sorry?
Myxomatosis.
Myxomatosis?
Myxomatosis. It doesn't sound like a very scary disease. It more sounds like someone who makes cocktails.
Be fair, if someone threatened me with something called myxomatosis, I'd probably be a little bit scared.
Really? I'd be more scared if they threatened me with a machete.
So
I used
you know
to
you
make cocktails. Nobody ever called me a myxomatosis.
Did you ever serve myxomatosis?
No, I think that's one of the diseases that I haven't given anybody yet.
Because... too considerate. That's your problem.
Sadly, because you
I'm not trying hard enough.
I also think we've just set a record for the amount of times myxomatosis has been said on a podcast.
I know.
Other than the myxomatosis podcast, because they say it all the time. But
I mean, that is a good podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and Rabbit Weekly. They say that quite a lot on there as well.
Yeah, it does come up quite frequently.
But all right, so we're the third podcast. To say
well, I'd say we're the highest. We have the highest potential to myxomatosis for a podcast not dedicated to rabbits.
This is true.
Yeah.
Oh, except Australia Monthly.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Anyway, this week's competition.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. This week's competition is... There you go.
Cool.
If you think you know that or you know that, email me at...
Have you forgotten your email address?
Which begins with his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was...
He has technically forgotten his name.
I was trying to remember whether it was back to front like my other one, but it's not. So it's lewisgaston@screendemon.com.
And now we know he's got another one that's back
to front. Well, that's your own fault for having a back to front email address.
Yeah, but what do I mean by back to front? For all you know, it could be Sewell Notsag.
Oh, dear. Right. Quiz time.
Oh, we need a theme tune for quiz time.
We do.
Hang on, I've got my piano.
Oh, I know. You said you bought your piano away because you would serenade me this week.
There's our theme tune. It's beautiful.
Excellent.
I love it.
I'm quite moved.
So am I, but I think I just need the toilet.
Truly, Lewis, you're one of this generation's great composers.
I am. I could do another one as well. Look, ready?
Oh, he's just shitting out jingles now.
I mean, really, Hans Zimmer's got nothing on you.
Hans who?
Hans Gaston,
yeah.
Because I played that with my hands.
Right, come on. Podcast.
Okay, quiz. I'm not telling you the theme, because if I tell you the theme, it will be ridiculously easy. So,
in case we're too stupid, will you test the theme afterwards?
You'll probably realise it after about the third one.
Okay.
Are
these just all quotes from Blair? Is that what it is this week? Just the rest of your soundboard?
No, it's not. I only had three.
All right.
And that is the God's honest truth. And they've all been played.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So I'm looking for the name of the film, and I'm not telling you the theme. So here we go.
Nay, and out of that contradiction against unfathomable odds, it's you. Only you that emerged.
Hear that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number two.
I just wanted to give him a hug.
We don't know the extent of his condition yet.
It could be progressive. It could be degenerative.
It could be fun.
No, Brad!
Hey, it's me! I'm back!
Number three.
Misery, misery, misery. That's what you've chosen. I offered you friendship, and you spat in my face.
Pinky. Number four.
Okay, you cunts. Let's see what you can do now.
Number five.
There are aspects of my personality that I can't control.
It's your shrink.
It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Number six.
They say the best weapon is one you never have to fire. I respectfully disagree. I prefer the weapon you only have to fire once.
Seven.
Dreams are getting worse. Scott. I keep feeling something terrible is about to happen.
Number eight. Number nine.
After you trashed the last one, I had to make some major modifications. Sure, it was difficult, but you are worth it. I mean, after all, I am your biggest fan.
Number 10.
I found myself, for the first time, without a home, wandering the sewers, scavenging for whatever I could find. And then, one day, I came upon a shattered glass jar.
Okay. Did you guess the theme?
The theme was superheroes.
So, how many do you think you got?
I've answered 5. One is really familiar to me, but I can't place it.
I have 5 that I'm confident of, and 1 that I have a guess, but I'm not sure.
Okay, number 1.
Is number 1 Watchmen?
Peter?
I didn't get anything for it.
Number 1, what's Watchmen? Watchmen, rather.
Dr. Manhattan?
That is Dr. Manhattan, yeah. Talking to Silk Spectre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 2.
I've got nothing for number 2.
Number 2 was Fantastic Four.
It was Fantastic Four.
I've blocked that film out of my head for being fucking awful.
One all. Number 3
is Spider-Man.
Didn't get an answer for that.
Number three is the rooftop scene of Spider-Man with Green Goblin's talking to Spider-Man after he gasses him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've blocked that film out of my memory.
It's not that bad.
It's pretty bad.
Someone likes it a bit too much.
If you don't get Peter, if you don't get the next one, I'm gonna be disappointed in you.
Number 3 was Spider-Man. So that's 2-1 to Chris. Number 4.
Is Kick-Ass.
Is Kick-Ass.
Is Kick-Ass. 4-2. No.
3-2.
3-2. Number 5.
I haven't got anything for 5.
Neither have I.
5 was Incredible Hulk.
I thought it might have been. I should have written that down. Damn.
Ed Norton. Number 6.
Is Iron Man.
Yeah, if Chris had been in The Incredible Hulk, it would have been a better film.
Yeah, is that from the first one or the second one?
That's the second one, because I've blocked the first one out of my memory.
Yeah, the first one is fucking awful.
That was Eric Banner, wasn't it, the first?
Ang Lee,
yeah. I mean, to be fair, I did quite like the way Ang Lee shot it. It was just everything else about it was terrible.
It was kek.
Yeah. Peter, did you get number 6?
No.
That was Iron Man.
That was Iron Man. That's 4-2 to Chris. Number 7.
I haven't got anything for 7.
Neither have I.
You don't sound like you're enjoying this week's, Chris. Peter.
That's because I have hardly answered any of them.
Number 7 was X-Men. That was Jean Grey.
Oh.
Fearing that she was going to turn into whatever.
Phoenix. Yeah. So it'd be X-Men 2 or 3.
Alright. Number 8.
Number 8, I'm not sure, but is it the first Batman film?
Peter, have you got anything for it?
I said Batman as well.
But
I couldn't remember if it was the first one or the second one.
But I think it's the first one, but I'm not sure.
It's
the Joker, Batman, isn't it?
It is. It's the Joker's laughy thing after he falls off the tower at the end.
I thought it was, yeah.
So that's 5-3?
Yeah, 5-3.
Number 9.
I haven't got anything for 9.
Oh, I have. Is number 9 Batman Forever?
No.
Fuck!
Number 9.
Is that not...
Was
Bastards.
Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, that's cool.
And number 10.
Is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
It was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Chris is this week's winner, which brings the total up to 6-4.
I think so. That sounds right. Yeah.
6-4.
Yeah, quite possibly there, something like that.
You won. How do you feel about that, Peter?
It's all right. I'm still in the lead overall. He may have won this battle, but he's still behind in the war.
And to be fair, it wasn't a particularly fair contest.
Why?
Also, I've got the recordings of what he said about the Irish, so if he doesn't stop winning, I'm going to send them to people.
Sinn Féin, mainly.
Well, to be fair, like, pitting anyone against me in a superhero film thing isn't particularly a fair fight.
That sounds like a challenge. Are there any readers or any listeners tuned in that would like to go up against Chris in a superhero challenge? Oh, fucking hell. Eurogamer Expo, big foam suits. It's a knockout. Superhero challenge.
But Peter, you have to... one quick question. Where are you going to get the money for foam suits?
We'll
make them. we'll make money.
Considering
I'm going to sell those photographs I've got of Lewis.
Considering we've already decided we're doing a...
You'd have to sell quite a lot, to be fair. They're not
I'll sell them by the pound.
They're not going to fetch. I mean,
but we decided we're shooting the whole of the expo on red cameras at 10 grand a pop, so...
Well, you decided that.
Can I make a request that you not sell the one of me in the Chun-Li outfit?
Okay, I'll just keep that one for us.
Thanks.
That one's staying in my personal collection. I can't believe I won for once. This is weird.
Hooray!
It's really irritating because
we don't have enough clapping on this podcast.
No, we don't. Yay! It's really irritating as well because I can't brag about it on Twitter until Monday. Stop clapping now.
Oh, sorry.
Right, it be question time.
Question time.
Are you applauding the questions, Lewis?
I am.
Hooray.
Hello, children. It's question time.
Oh, hold on.
Chris, what questions do you have?
Well, I don't know, I may be holding on for hold something.
On. What?
All right, we're holding on. Christ, I'm waiting for you.
Question time.
Oh, that was lovely. Oh, thank you, Peter.
Oh?
Fucking jingles in the back tonight.
Your jingle got a better reception than my jingles.
To be fair, though, the reception was Chris pissing himself laughing at me.
let's do a duet.
Wait, Peter, have you tuned your banjo?
No, I haven't tuned my banjo.
Promises.
I decided I would just move the guitar closer to the computer since that's the instrument I can actually play.
Fair enough. Right.
Don't ask me what key I'm playing in, Lewis. I don't know.
Okay, let's go.
Where are we going?
I don't know. Play. Question time.
And after that lovely cacophony, quick question, Peter. Although you can't play on the banjo, can you play dueling banjos on your guitar?
No.
Duh.
I can play the first little bit that I played on the banjo last week.
Because I was going to say, you could have done dueling banjos with Lewis's piano. It would have been amazing.
I can't play dueling banjos on the piano.
Oh, you're talented. You can play anything.
It's not strictly true.
Yeah, fine.
Play the one string banjo.
Right.
Sounds
like
a euphemism.
Right, let's actually do the questions. Now we've had our lovely jingles. rather oddly, this segment seems to have had three jingles, which is a bit odd.
Oh, no. No,
wait, could you do like a musical like da 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 do 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 da? Because that'd be amazing.
I don't think I could. Hang on. I could probably do something like
lovely.
Question time.
It is. We should do a barbershop quartet, although there's only three of us.
Right. Question time.
Question time.
Let's actually start.
Question time.
Question time.
First,
Chris, you won't get involved.
Question time.
That's because you really don't want to hear me sing. Just ask Daffs. That's enough clapping.
Okay.
Fuck, Lewis must have really liked that.
Right. First question.
If you do like a seal clap.
First question.
That's when you're really enthusiastic.
First question.
All right, Chris, what is the first fucking question? You've been
I think he's about 15 seconds away from taking his headphones off.
This week's first question is from Tugnipa, who... What studios he worked for, Lewis? Because you, not Lewis, Peter, you'll know this. Because he used to write...
What?
They used to write the game dev diaries on to yes. say, I'm sure. What studio is that? I've forgotten now.
It was Adirachian.
But he works for somewhere else now, doesn't he?
Does he?
I think...
I know he's working with someone else, yeah. but I'm not sure.
Well, he's doing... He's also going to the Train to Game Jam tomorrow, which he went just to pimp. Anyway...
I bet it won't be as good as the jam we just had.
No, nothing could be as good as that.
Definitely not.
Anyway, he says, if you could choose between a free iPad 2 bare bones or 3DS with all launch games, which would you take?
iPad 2.
Yeah, iPad 2. Peter?
What was the question?
basically, would you rather have an iPad 2 but you don't get anything loaded onto it? It just comes with the preloaded software. Or a 3DS with all the launch games?
The iPad 2.
Yeah, because you could flog the iPad 2 and then buy a 3DS afterwards.
You could do what with the iPad 2?
Flog it. Sell it.
Ah.
Yeah, no, I would rather have an iPad 2. I don't want all the 3DS launch games.
Yeah. Some of them
don't want a 3DS. And with an iPad 2, you can do painting, you can do music, you can do writing.
With the 3DS, a lot of people have said wait for the 3DSi because it's going to have better X, Y, and Z. But the main thing I want with it is I just want the battery to be a bit longer.
Yeah.
Like 3 to 5 hours isn't really enough, I don't think. Yeah.
No, not when the last one was so good on the
battery. And particularly, like, that's not the length of, like, a decent length flight, so if you know what I mean, like. There's a lot of flights where you could have just played the old DS all the way and probably would have made it, but not so.
Although it is roughly comparable to my old PSP, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but as you said, when you're coming down from such a high life of the DSi, then you kind of expect them to maintain that.
Also, if I got an iPad 2, it would make my wife an awful lot happier. Mm. As it is, I'm going to go to the midnight launch and buy a 3DS tonight. And when I bring it home, I'm going to go, look, I've got a 3DS. And she's going to go, yeah, who cares?
Hmm.
Whereas if it was an iPad 2, she'd be happy.
She would be.
Because she wants one of them.
They are cool. Anyway, next up is Dnlgee. D-N-L-G-E-E. Why do people have...
Are you sure it's just not like Daniel G?
No.
But that's what it's short for.
Probably. Could be Daniel G. Are we excited about the Resident Evil Survival Selection?
No.
Peter?
Not really.
I didn't really read about it, but for what I can remember, no.
Well, I think, is it Resident Evil 4 and Code Veronica?
Something like that. Yeah, something.
I've played Resident Evil 4 all the way through twice and about halfway through once. So I'm kind of played out on that.
Okay.
And I never really had the interest for Veronica, so...
All right, fair enough. Okay, we have... AG2297 says, what are the consequences of breaking an embargo and what do you think they should be?
The consequences of breaking an embargo, we are told that... Well, we're not ever really told. We're not given, like, a list of this is what will happen if you break the embargo.
No, it's not like with an NDA where there are... set out consequences of what will happen if you break an NDA.
Well, this is it. Yeah, if you sign a non-disclosure agreement, basically you are legally bound. Yeah.
If you break an NDA...
And if you break them, yeah, they'll sue you.
Yeah, you will end up in court, and games companies will take you to court.
Oh, yeah, there are. And, I mean, we have signed NDAs in the past that would mean that we'd lose houses and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's
exactly.
Serious shit with an NDA.
Yeah, it really is.
The way an embargo works is we generally get... a press release, or we get told something that we are told is embargoed for a certain date. It always has the date printed. Well, it almost always has the date clearly.
Yeah, it's odd because occasionally, like with press releases, it's always very clear. Oddly, with reviews, it's not always so clear what the embargo is. Sometimes you have to go and ask, which is
sometimes you have to check.
Really weird. But yeah.
There are no sort of hard and fast penalties for it for breaking it.
No.
It's never really, it's always just assumed that you will keep to it.
Exactly.
I always think of an embargo as an agreement that you make with somebody. They give you this news and they say, you can have this news and you can tell people about it as long as you do it at the time that we would like you to do it. Because obviously it all fits in with their marketing plans and the way they roll out those campaigns and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, sometimes they're not allowed to announce that news until their partners have done stuff. So, you know, it has ramifications all through the industry.
Exactly.
But I think of it as a personal agreement that you make with another person.
Right.
And if you break that, if you give somebody your word and then you break that, then it doesn't matter if there are penalties or if you're going to be, if it's going to be more difficult to do your job next week. That doesn't matter. If you break your word to another person, then you're kind of a dick.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. The way I see an embargo is it's almost like a gentleman's agreement that you're saying, yes, like, there is no way you can force us to abide by this, but we will abide by this because we're good guys and we want to continue to be friends with you, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I know of outlets that have broken embargoes repeatedly, and they seem to get, from the outside looking in, they seem to be no consequences at all. And that might just be because they're more useful to the PR company to be on side than they are.
Yes, exactly. Not
given the information.
Like places like IGN, I can't think of an instance where they have broken embargo. But IGN, as an example, not saying that they are someone who breaks embargoes regularly, but someone like the size of IGN, PR companies can threaten to withdraw PR contacts, but they can't effectively do it because they'd be crippling themselves.
Yeah. Well, they need the outlet. They need to be able to get the news.
Exactly.
As for what I think the consequences should be, I don't know, it's not really my business, you know? It's annoying for me to see other outlets jump the gun. And then we sort of, because the way it works on the internet, it's, you know, there's no use pretending. It's all about getting traffic through the website.
Yeah.
You have to get that traffic through the website. Otherwise, you have no hope of making revenue. And if you've no hope of making revenue, then you can't keep the website running.
Yep.
So it's about getting traffic. And traffic lands on big news stories.
Yep.
And a news story is no longer big if somebody else breaks it 3 hours before the embargo lifts.
Exactly.
So it's annoying when it happens to us.
Yeah.
As I'm sure it is for everybody that it happens to. But it's not up to me to say, you know, that's the PR person's job. That's the marketing department's job. They should set those things in process themselves if they think that there's a need for it. And if not, they just carry on going the way they go. And we work within those constraints.
Yeah. I mean, from our perspective, even if someone has broken the embargo, whoever is the PR contact, normally Alex will go and ask if the PR company are willing to release us from the embargo, as it's already all over the internet. It's normally the way it works. And sometimes they'll say, yeah, because everyone else has already done it, so you may as well. Sometimes they'll say no. And if they say no, that's fair enough, then we'll stick to the original embargo time. And we have no qualms with that at all, because that's just kind of how... This makes us sound very superior, but that's how we do it.
Yeah. Another reason why it sometimes is quite frustrating for us is because quite often that embargo time and that little piece of information that we have has been worked over and it's gone back and forth. And maybe whoever's dealing with the PR, and like you say, it's usually Alex, has spent maybe 3 or 4 hours making sure that they've got it right and they've got everything they need for that story to get launched at the time that they've agreed to launch it. And then somebody else undercuts you and all that work has been for nothing. So the work goes into it and then somebody else undercuts you and there's nothing you can do about it. But that is another thing which is actually a little bit more annoying from our point of view, is when PR companies sell early embargoes to other outlets. So for example, maybe there's a review embargo on a huge game that's coming up and we're told, right, the embargo is, say, Wednesday afternoon, 4 p.m. GMT. So that's okay. We get everything in order and we get it all set up to go. And then on Tuesday afternoon, somebody else publishes their review. We contact the PR company and say, what the fuck, you know, you told us there was an embargo on this. You know, what are we supposed to do now? And they say, yes, but we sold rights for them to publish the review first. You know, once the news is out, once there's a review out even, ours and everybody else's becomes far less valuable.
Yeah, exactly.
So for the PR companies sometimes, and it has only happened a few times, but when the PR companies do that, it kind of feels like, well, why the fuck should we cooperate with you? You know, we do all this work to try and make sure that we fit in with what you're doing as well. as well as getting the news out to our readers. You know, why should we put that effort in when you're just going to sell it off to somebody else the day before?
Because, yeah, exactly. Because I know, because obviously I don't know as much with news, but definitely on the review side, for example, I know that even this week we held back on our Dissidia review because some of the assets were embargoed and we wanted to clear what we were available to use for the review. And that meant our review went out later than the actual embargo date because we didn't want to be dicks, basically, and we didn't want to use stuff that Square Enix weren't okay with us using. And that was fine by us because we were 12 hours late, I think, on the date, something like that. But it was fine by us.
Yeah, it's not a case of, you know, people are going to maybe listen to this and think, well, they're trying to work to fit into PR standards. And it's not even really a case of that. It's a case of working with people. You have to work with these people every day.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're constantly going back and forwards. And at the end of the day, they give us the information. A lot of the time, they give us the information that our readers want to know about. You know, they give us the assets for the reviews that we do. They give us the news for the releases that are coming up. And these are all things that our readership wants. So this is all in service of the reader. But in order to service the reader, we have to work with PR people. And, you know, 99% of the time, PR people are only too happy to work with us. And they quite often they will try and stretch the embargo. Well, they'll say, well, you know, fair enough, there are other outlets publishing that, so you may as well go ahead and do it. You know, they work with us just as much as we work with them. But it's something that we have to work with within the industry. And it's something that can be very frustrating. But we continue to work with it.
It's just because it's, you kind of have to. So,
everybody does it. And if you don't do it, then you don't have a website.
Yeah, it's the only choice.
Or a magazine to print, or, you know, everybody does it. Everybody has to do it.
I was going
to say, and that's maybe unfortunate that so much gets channeled through PR. You know, I would prefer it if it was coming straight from the developers. But when you see outlets that have absolutely no shame to purposefully misquote developers and to not do due diligence when they're looking up facts about developers and facts about titles that people are developing, I can completely understand why developers don't want to talk to us except for true PR people.
No. Well, sort of the problem is that it's a difference that an individual developer will always want to talk to you. Is what my experience is. If you go talk to an individual developer, they always want to talk to you. And I have been in situations where developers have wanted to show stuff to me and the PR dude has shook his head because developers are incredibly open about their games to kind of an amazing extent, because they just think, hey, this is a cool thing, do you want to see this cool thing? And we will always say, yes, I'd love to see your cool thing because I want to write about that.
And quite often anybody that creates something wants to show it to other people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you do this thing and you work on it for, you know, some games in development for 2, 3, 4 years. Some games in development for 10 or 12 years, Duke Nukem. But when you've created something like that, you're going to be very proud of it and you're going to want to show it off. But there are people who are going to want to sell it. So you have to sell it, you know. That's how the business works. But yeah, I know of, I'm not going to name any names, out of respect for the people, but I know of one developer who didn't have a PR team until they got misquoted and treated badly by a number of outlets, and now they deal with us through PR. And beforehand I was talking directly to the people that were writing the game, and now we're getting phone calls from PR people. And that's, you know, that's the industry's fault, that's games journalists' fault for not doing their jobs properly.
Exactly.
And not taking enough care and attention.
Exactly. And it's a shame. And obviously, we don't want to make out that we're perfect, because we're not by any extent. But
fuck no.
We do.
Absolutely not.
We do the best we can. And we will never, I would say,
well, we try. Everything we do from the viewpoint of, is this the right thing to do? And we do quite often turn down big things that, you know, we have had things sitting in pending on the website for 3-4 weeks that we haven't published because we're not sure about it. We're not sure if it's going to be correct. We can't properly check the facts. So we hold off for 3 or 4 weeks and then somebody else publishes the rumor. You know, we give up on a lot of things that might be potentially very beneficial to us in terms of traffic. Because, well, I always say I would rather be good and I would rather keep my integrity than be popular. Because you see so many other places, so many other people that are quite happy to hit bait and sensationalize and troll people just to get the traffic. And it's, you know, I'd rather not be a cunt and still be able to do my job.
Like I say, because I would say about 25% of the articles you get from Alex have big red font at the top that says "Do not publish this," because he is trying to clear something with PR first, which is always fun to see because it's always something exceptionally cool.
Yeah, or we've heard something through back channels and we're waiting for quotes from the developer or the publisher. Yeah.
And then,
you know, you're waiting for your fact check, and a lot of places won't bother fact checking. And they'll just push it.
Yep, exactly.
Oh dear. Fuckers. But yeah, it would be nice if it wasn't so PR-led. But at the same time, I can completely understand why it has to be PR-led at the moment. And I can take our share of the responsibility in that.
Yep. Right.
That was quite a long rant.
Yes, it was.
I got quite serious for a moment.
That was the other reason I wasn't sure if we were to answer that question, because I knew it was going to go long.
Quick, Lewis, make a knob joke.
Cock.
Excellent.
Sorry, there was no joke around that, but he put me on the spot.
That's fair enough. Right, a much lighter question from Colin Barr. Will any of you be watching WrestleMania? What are you looking forward to most and why?
Hells to the yeah.
I would be, but it's on like at stupid o'clock, so I won't be.
I would be if I had Sky Television, but I don't have Sky Television because I am adamant that I will not put money into Rupert Murdoch's pocket.
What if I put my own money into Rupert Murdoch's pocket for you and then you had Sky Television?
I'd probably be okay with that.
That seems reasonable. All right.
Yeah.
No, I will be watching, and I'm most looking forward to, I think Rock's going to interfere with Cena. Not in that way.
On television?
Yeah, exactly.
See, he's going to interfere in Cena's match.
See,
Oh, that would be the best-selling pay-per-view ever.
It'd be a very different pay-per-view as well. I was going to say Undertaker Triple H.
I'm a bit nervous.
Fighting again.
What?
No, it was Shawn Michaels before.
It was Shawn Michaels for, the last 2 years.
Shawn Michaels.
And then it's Triple H this year. And that thing's going to go the distance.
I'm not too sure, because I think it might just be Triple H trying to recreate the Shawn Michaels feud and have a WrestleMania moment for himself. And I don't know if it's going to be as... Because the difference between Shawn Michaels and Triple H is obviously their size and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure it's going to be
that's
as
true.
Entertaining.
Like, half of me says they can't possibly ever end Undertaker's streak. Because for those of you who don't follow wrestling, he's he is 18-0 at WrestleMania now. He has won consistently for the last 18 years, which, yes, wrestling is fixed. But as someone said in the build-up to this, it would be the equivalent of winning the Super Bowl 18 years straight, basically.
Like, no, they won't get rid of that.
Yeah, I can't see it happening. But some of the build-up this year, some of the stuff that has been going on Raw, has me maybe 10% thinking that they might actually do it. They've been phrasing stuff.
The only way I think it will happen is if they make it a win or retire match, in which case they may be getting ready to, the Undertaker may be getting ready to retire, in which case may be the case. But having said that, if he was retiring, I'd still imagine him to go out on a high at 19-0.
No, to be fair, if he retires, he has got to retire on 20-0 if he's going to retire at WrestleMania.
That's true, yeah.
Because everyone thought he was going to retire at 15-0 because he was starting to slow down a bit at that point. And I think he'll make it 20-0 and retire.
If they make The Undertaker lose, they will be dead to me.
They'll be what, sorry?
They will be dead to me.
I don't think they'd be dead to you. I think they would just actually be dead.
I'm not having it. The Undertaker can't lose.
I kind of thought there was a point a couple of years ago where I was also thinking he might lose this year.
And if The Undertaker loses, I'll wrestle them all.
The thing is,
do it
all at once. Fuckers, bring it on.
The thing is, though, if the Undertaker loses, I could genuinely see there being a riot. I could literally, fans would be pissed.
Yeah,
it'd be like Michael Jackson's Thriller. The undead will rise.
But that's the other thing that makes me think, because the WWE isn't exactly the most unpredictable of organizations.
Exactly.
And I just think that will they be able to resist the urge to throw a massive curveball?
Like that's the thing with Taker. Like Undertaker at WrestleMania. Isn't that baseball? Is it? Yeah. but like you say, with Undertaker at WrestleMania, it has got to be hugely tempting to do it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Just because it would be an easy thing, but no one would expect you to do it.
No, and it would be talked about for years
to come. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think if it ever happens, that match will be incredible. If he ever loses at WrestleMania, it will be in possibly one of the most amazing matches to ever happen. Because him against Shawn Michaels the last 2 years have been fucking amazing.
See, the first year was probably the best match I'd seen in a long, long time. But I think the year after, it was too samey.
It was
let's try and recreate the magic, which you can't do.
I'd say that the only difference last year was that kind of slightly pushed over the edge to me was last year when you got to the end of the match. The last couple of minutes of last year's match were just jaw dropping.
But that probably wasn't due to the actual wrestling itself. That was probably due to the fact that you're waiting for Shawn Michaels to go, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it
has this turned into a WWE fan
I was gonna say that. Yeah, but we'll move on in a sec. But yeah, last year it was due to the stakes. But,
yeah, what of it, Peter?
The only way I'll be happy at The Undertaker getting beaten at WrestleMania is if that he's is if fuck me, I can't speak now. The
phrases
only way I'll be happy.
Peter can't say.
Cheeky bastards. The only way I'll be happy with The Undertaker losing at WrestleMania is if he's beaten by myxomatosis.
It could happen, you never know, with the WWE.
Yeah. It'll just be a wrestler in a big bunny suit.
Yeah. And it is Easter, so there is a high chance of that actually happening.
Oh, no, if I do watch it now and they have people in rabbit costumes for Easter, I'll be like, fucking hell, it's going to happen.
All right.
And then they'll be like the next big faction, myxomatosis.
All right, next question. Comes from Spoof Barnabas. And this is weird. I knew I'd seen something about Cool Runnings. He literally says, "Which of you have seen Cool Runnings? If you have, please comment on its awesomeness."
It's awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty fucking awesome.
Here's a question, right? John Candy, Cool Runnings or Uncle Buck?
Uncle Buck.
Yeah, Uncle Buck.
Yeah, I think Uncle Buck too. But a Cool Runnings is an awesome movie.
Cool Runnings is awesome, yeah. But Uncle Buck's on a whole nother level.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a divisive question.
No.
Fuck me.
Like cool.
Here's me thinking that was going to go down like Jeremy Paxman.
Cool Runnings.
It goes down quite well, actually.
Cool Runnings.
You two just agree.
Cool Runnings is amazing, but Uncle Buck is Uncle Buck. And
oh, what about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? With the irrepressible Steve Martin.
Good film.
All the Great Outdoors.
I think I'd take Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, so would I.
I'm going to pick one more question.
Don't pick that one.
All right. Think it. I will do this one from Riot. Oh, we kind of talked about 3DS though. We talk about it so much. I'm not gonna do that one. Sorry, Riot. I'm not picking your question. Oh no, I am picking your question because the other one's from Liam, and we do his questions all the fucking time.
And he's a dirty pervert.
He is.
I like questions from dirty pervert.
Right. Well, just ask.
You're right. Most.
I was gonna say, just ask yourself questions. You'll be fine.
I will. Don't you worry.
Coming from Ryan Martin, 1991.
Hello, Lewis. What are you wearing?
With the release of...
Nothing much. Latex pair of shorts. What are you wearing?
You done?
I think now we're getting an audio transcribe of Lewis losing his mind.
Who said that?
With the release of the 3DS tomorrow, do you think that due to the general public's obsession with 3D, this could mark the point where gaming becomes a mainstream industry, especially considering that Sky 3D will be airing the launch event?
No.
No. Gaming already is mainstream.
Yeah. I think gaming is mainstream. We just have a bit of an inferiority complex.
Yeah, gaming made like infinity billion dollars last year. It's
infinity billion dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money.
I couldn't add it up.
I know.
1 to infinity billion.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it happened.
Thomas' calculator broke, didn't it?
Gaming is at the point where it makes a shit ton of money. It is regularly covered in mainstream press. Like, places like The Guardian and The Telegraph review video games now. I'm pretty sure you can't get much more mainstream than that.
It also depends how you look at it, because as much as a lot of us old, cynic, hardcore gamers will fear this, gaming is mainstream because of the fact that your mum plays Farmville on Facebook. You know, Farmville is a video game. Get over it. That's why it's mainstream. It's mainstream because the average gamer is probably something like a 35-year-old woman. It's just that when the scare stories hit the press and when we talk about gamers, we mean the gamers from that have always been gamers, that have grown up with games consoles or grown up playing on the PC. But the average gamer doesn't play Call of Duty. The average gamer plays Farmville or Angry Birds.
Exactly. And what I find odd is we are getting to the point where gamers won't exist, where gamer won't really be a term in the same way that you don't have like filmer. You don't say that about someone who goes and watches a lot of films or someone.
No, you don't talk about, oh, he's a real hardcore reader.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fucking mental.
It's
just an entertainment medium.
I think maybe when films and music, when recorded music, were like in their infancy, you did get that to an extent, like when they were starting off, but then they went mainstream as well, and kind of they just became an accepted part of culture. And video games, I kind of think, are at that point. Frankly,
yeah, I think it's a very small minority now that doesn't accept even our kind of video games, even the Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto. I think that's a very small minority, and it's a minority of fucking idiots. So just ignore them. You are mainstream.
Yeah, I don't think we can get much more mainstream. The fact that Sky 3D are airing this event proves that gaming is mainstream.
It proves that there's a market for it.
Yeah, exactly. Sky 3D wouldn't go and air this to make it mainstream. Sky 3D are airing this because it is mainstream, because they know people care.
Yeah. And possibly because of some sort of backroom marketing deal.
Yeah. And some...
Sky are shipping content to the 3DS.
And also weird things about 3D. I don't know. Essentially, we are there. Accept it. There was an interesting thing someone was saying about... they were reading research. This was Lystrander. I can't remember how you pronounce his name. Do you know who I mean? Lion. The guy that you were answering questions for this week, Peter.
Oh, yes.
But I can't remember how you say his Twitter name. Lion Strand.
Alec Hilton.
Alec Hilton, that'll do. He was saying he was reading some research about how gamers, although, as we were saying, but what we mean by the term gamers, people who would be traditionally considered gamers, and I'm putting traditionally in air quotes, even though you can't see it, they like to fail. I was kind of thinking perhaps they're right, because games like Farmville and stuff like that, which have wider market appeal, it would seem, don't really have a concept of failure. Whereas obviously it's built into titles like Call of Duty and sort of...
Is it though? When was the last time you died and got a game over screen?
Oh, no. I don't mean... We like to, but the way I perceive, because I haven't read this research, but the way I perceive it is you like to fail if there are limited repercussions to that failure.
Oh, yeah.
So, a game like Call of Duty or something wouldn't be fun if you could blitz through the whole game without dying once on your first run. It becomes fun when you've played that game like 10 times and you can go through it without being killed.
Skill building.
But the fact that it's, you only get a sense of achievement because you've failed 5-10 times at this thing, and you get a sense of achievement because you failed and then you succeeded.
Yeah, so you fail a few times and that tells you that it's difficult, and then you succeed and that tells you that you're better.
Exactly. And I kind of, that's why I, that's my perception is that's why Farmville and games like that can appeal to a different market segment, not a market segment that is in any way worse, just a different one, because they don't really have that concept of failure built into the game. If you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan also says, can you do the shuffle?
The truffle shuffle?
No, I did.
The truffle shuffle.
I don't know what he means by the shuffle. I can do the locomotive. Everybody doing a rave, you dance. Come on,
baby. I can do the Gaston shuffle.
What's that?
That is a little dance because I'm not a bad dancer, but my other two brothers can't like do even a box step, so they created the Gaston shuffle, which is just basically raised hands shuffling.
Cool.
I've been doing the five finger shuffle all the way through this podcast.
That's an hour and 47 minutes. You are a god amongst men.
It's starting to hurt, to be honest.
Calluses.
Bringing a tear to my eye.
Which one?
Oh my god.
Right, and Peter, did you have any questions this week?
No.
Okay.
I thought Alex had a question.
That's what I was going to say. Then our final question is, we have to guess this question. I don't really understand this game. Al sent, basically told me we had to guess his question. But he gave us a clue, and which is the first word, and the first word is how. I have to guess the rest of the question. I thought it might be like Jeopardy, where it gives you the answer, you have to work out the question. But no.
I've worked out both. If we're playing Jeopardy, it's what's the formal greeting in Indian?
Yep.
Native Indian.
Native American.
Yep, how. But I know the question.
Okay,
that he's
asking. What's the question?
The question that he's asking is, how is it that he's become so captivated by Zelda when you look at it, it's a pile of shit.
Oh dear.
And now,
I'm sure that's the question.
Do we have an answer for him then?
You can't. You just got to humour him, let him get on with Zelda.
Okay.
Well, once Zelda's got you in his grasp, there's no going back.
His grasp?
What the fuck ever? I don't know.
Zelda's a woman.
Yeah, Zelda's the princess. Link is the dude.
I think that Alex's question, which starts with how, is possibly how many mics do we rip on the daily? See me say many money. See me say many, many, many. Because I think Alex is a secret Fugees fan.
I believe that was what is colloquially known as rap music.
Yeah.
Interesting. I believe
it was. That was the Fugee La.
Oh. Fuji
la la.
I hear that currently the youth are into this kind of thing.
Yeah, they are. That's why I'm repping for the youth.
Personally, I think you can't beat a good bit of bark. But anyway.
Do it again.
Do what again? Do the rap?
Yeah, do the rap again.
How many mics do we rip on the daily? Say me say many money. Say me say many, many, many.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yes, it does.
That tastes
racist.
How many mics do we rip on the daily? So how many mics do we break every day?
Yes.
Well,
no, how many, yeah, how many microphones?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, I'm having to translate rap music into middle-class Southern English. How many microphones do we use daily?
Yeah.
I say many. Yes, I say many, many, many.
Oh, but I thought you said many, many money the first time, not many, 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 which is why I was confused.
Well,
but
yeah, I think that's just colloquialisms. I don't know. I'm not from Haiti.
Because I was going to say, because money isn't is not a value in most number systems. Maybe it is in Haitian. That'll do.
It's like, what's that film called where everything's so money?
Everything's what?
They go, it's a film, and oh fuck, what is it called? They go to, it's all set in like Las Vegas or somewhere, and everything, that, if it's good, they all say, oh, that's so money.
Swingers.
Is it Swingers?
Don't know.
It could be.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No, it's not Fear
Leaving
and Loathing.
Leaving Las Vegas?
No, isn't that the
Viva
one with
Las Vegas.
In it? No.
Celine Dion live in Las Vegas?
That's the one.
Celine
Dion.
That is so money.
She's so money. Also, has a face. Quite like a horse.
Not quite like a horse. It is a horse.
Her and Sarah Jessica Parker could be sisters.
Ugh.
Excellent. Right, I believe we're done.
You believe wrong.
Oh, okay. What's next then?
I got a question.
Oh, did you? Sorry, Lewis. You should have spoken up. What was your question, Lewis?
Oh, I didn't get a question.
I was willing to humour you and everything. God. I was speaking...
Well, I feel left out. No one sends me questions. Well,
someone send Lewis a question next week. Cheer up.
But that would mean reading Screen Demon. Nobody reads Screen Demon anymore.
I read Screen Demon.
You don't comment.
No, I don't.
People probably read it. It's just no one comments.
No.
People will need to comment. They need to make me feel...
But I think, no matter what size site you are, I think TSA is actually quite lucky to get the number of comments we do.
Yeah.
Because
you
even look at huge sites like IGN stuff don't always get a massive number of comments. It just depends how community-driven your site is.
Oh, so now you're mocking my attitude towards the community.
Yes, I'm saying you hate them. I'm saying you sit on your ivory throne and look down at the community and spit.
Is his ivory throne in an ivory tower?
Yep.
Just to tie up that metaphor for
you. The whole thing is made of ivory.
Metaphors Chris can't say.
So it's essentially a world of ivory that Lewis lives in.
Yes. And looks down...
Don't Brilliant. Tell Greenpeace. Honestly, I've been on the down low from them for a while. Something about elephants, I don't know.
And he looks down upon the community from his ivory world and says scum and spits on them. And then laughs.
I spit in your eye.
And then
to
laughs.
To be fair,
manically.
I saw one of them on fire. I was doing them a favour. It's not my fault. My cigarette set them on fire, but at least I tried to repair the damage.
After you flicked your cigarette carelessly out of your ivory window.
Probably wasn't just the cigarette, it was the petrol I threw down first.
I mean, that's not going to help.
No, but then they shouldn't be down there, should they, really? They should go away from my cell.
No, they should be in the kitchens where they belong.
Exactly, Peter.
Being
exactly.
whipped. Apart from the ones that work in the mines.
Oh, no, I had to close the mines.
Aww.
I mean,
it was an issue.
Obviously, none of this applies to the TSA community because we love those dudes.
Of course.
Yeah. The ones at TSA are awesome. This is just for the people who ever tried because this was part of the Screen Demon community. We don't fucking like you.
That's not very nice.
No, it's not. We love you, really. Please comment more. Lewis is lonely.
Yeah.
Perhaps
Screen Demon gets quite a lot of readers.
Yeah.
Considering.
Often doesn't, but I don't have any time to write.
You cheeky fucker.
Yeah, it does. Screen Demon does quite well for readers. Oh, I thought that was going to be too subtle and nobody was going to get it. So yeah, comment more.
Yes.
Lazy bastards. Go back to Screen Demon, sign up, join. We've even got quite a few members. So go back to Screen Demon and make some comments.
Yeah.
Do's it.
Yes. Yes, do's it indeed. Right, that'll do for a podcast. Thank you all for listening to episode 11. Of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. This is quite nice, actually. I have been and continue to be your host, Chris Lipscomb. You can get me on Twitter and any Oscar Mike Media site as HalPro.
I feel like we're going to hear a really, really sad story on Radio 2.
I know, it's true, isn't it? You can find Peter on Twitter and pretty much anywhere on the entire internet as Colossal Blue, and you can find Lewis, who in his own words has just fluffed it, over most Oscar Mike medias.
What did you say?
I said who has in his own words just fluffed it.
I did just fluff it.
You can find him.
So we're saying Lewis is a fluffer.
Yeah, Lewis is a fluffer.
I wish.
Yeah, but you can find Lewis the fluffer on Twitter and Screen Demon.
It's a fluffer.
As Lewis Gaston. I do appreciate, Peter, that you've been putting like Twitter links and stuff in the post. It's good. Well done.
Yeah, I thought I'd do that. I thought I'd start doing that because then people might talk to us a bit more.
I know, but I keep getting people on Twitter who talk to me. I don't know who they are and it scares me a little bit.
I get used to it.
It's just occasionally like people you don't know pop up in your replies feed and you're like, who are you? Hello. And then edge away slowly.
But we like new people.
I'm scared by them. Initially scared.
You're scared by everything, to be fair. I watched The Prestige last week. It wasn't really scary at all.
I am scared. I'm scared by everything, and I also do think most things are a trap.
Everything's a trap.
But that is a fair qualifier. If there's anything that Admiral Akbar has taught me, it's that it's a trap.
I get all my life advice from Neen Numb.
What's Neenum tell you?
Neenum doesn't tell me very much at all, really. He doesn't speak English.
Oh, well, that's not that handy, is it?
No, he just wears like a red jumpsuit and goes...
That's not very useful at all.
Like one of the Muppets.
Yeah. One of the good Muppets, one of the bad Muppets.
I didn't know there was any other kind but the good Muppets.
Well, I don't know. That's the bald eagle. The bald eagle's not great.
Is that Make You Feel My Love?
It is Make You Feel My Love. Did it make you feel my love?
I always feel your love.
Yep, yeah, I'm going to need a good hot bath now to make that close up.
Good, good.
I always feel your love deep inside me.
Oh, Make You Feel My Love is a fantastic Bob Dylan song.
It is.
Which has been covered very well by Adele. Yeah, Adele did a really good cover of it.
Yeah.
Garth Brooks did an absolutely shit cover of it.
What, the football commentator?
Yeah. No, that's Gareth Crooks. Don't just imagine that.
I'm almost sure they're different people.
I'm hungry.
Have you
I'm
ever
sad
seen
and blue.
In the same room?
Yeah, anyway, we're finished. We're done. Say goodbye, everyone.
That's a bit harsh.
Thank you.
Was that a death threat?
No, it wasn't a death threat. Because, to be honest, you're both bigger than me and could probably beat the shit out of me in a fight. So, I'm not going to threaten you guys.
Are you calling me fat?
No, I'm calling you a giant.
What about a bit of David Gray?
Yeah, go on, just do a...
Which bit?
Wait.
His left leg.
Wait a sec, let me play.
Because it's a bit longer than his right leg, and if you're a bit hungry, you want a bit more...
Lewis, let's all say goodbye, and then you can play us out.
Okay.
All right, so everyone say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Play us out, Lewis.
Fluffed it.
It's just like we're a real thing, isn't it?
It's good.
And you know that was just Chris's way of making us shut the fuck up so he could get away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can have your fun. You can have your fun as soon as we've all said goodbye.
But yeah.
Fucker.
Right. We're done for another week. Thank you for listening, everyone. Goodbye. Right.
Peter,
Yes?
Hello.
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 Have you had a good week, Lewis?
I've had an alright week. How's your week been?
It's been okay.
Good.
Are you both now trying to do deliberate, like, skits to go for the ending?
No.
No, that's right.
Wait, deliberate what? To go over the ending?
Skits.
Oh. I thought you said shits.
Yes. Are you both doing shits to go over the ending?
No, it's just that for the past hour and 56 minutes, we haven't had actually a chance to talk.
I'm terribly sorry.
We should be.
Yeah, every time we get a half-decent conversation going, some Muppet in the corner says, so let's talk about... And yeah. We end up having to change the subject.
1 week, I'm not going to say anything. I just see what happens. I'm going to say hello, I'm going to introduce you at the beginning, and just say, Peter and Lewis, go.